do something. I probably have to have a password and an email and all that.
Yeah, but you set it up.
Have you heard, Lieutenant Leach has been kind of MIA lately?
Yes, I sent him an email on Thursday morning and said,
I just wanted to make sure.
You're on the agenda for our meeting on Monday. And on Friday, he sent me an email and said, I'll be there. So,
because I know we've had a couple of concerns about speeding, where our radar signs are at and our... I should say, our portion of the radar wagon.
He said he was going to bring it into Crimson Hollow because they wanted it, they were anxious for it, and they were a little bit too far down on our list. And I asked him, he said, I'll send it over there.
Yeah, it seems like... Yeah, and what do we have, two of our own?
We just have one.
One, and is that still over here in the ridge?
Not sure where it is right now. Basically, we have two sets of batteries for it. A full charge will last biggest share of 2 weeks. So we put a brand new fully charged set of batteries in it. We put it in a location. We leave it there until time to change the batteries. Then we move it. That's kind of what we've done. So it stays in one spot for biggest share of 2 weeks and then gets moved.
I guess my thought is it seems like the speed concerns are all year after year, like in Crimson Howell, that long run to at Waterside, is it Longwater?
Yep.
Just get together with it and figure out some rotation and just...
And that's what we have, we do have a rotation. And that's what Ken had put that together, and that's what Doug's been following. We could buy another sign. I forget how much we paid for that thing, but we could always get another sign.
Well, I'll work that out with Doug, and if you think we need another one. Since this is your meeting, what else do you have going on?
I had indicated I signed a contract with Durer today, so that's moving along. Update on my memo.
If we could just on that, I know Eric had mentioned that he was discussing some grant opportunities with the Metro Parks for the green parking and all of that. I'm presuming that we're too late for those opportunities if we go ahead with the spring construction schedule.
I don't know. To me, the two projects really don't have anything to do with one another other than the fact that they're both down at the maintenance department. Certainly the parking doesn't conflict with the addition to the building. And the
other than the grading, the surveying thing that we asked about a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. Right. So I guess I didn't talk to anybody at Lewandowski about that, but I will do that tomorrow.
About the addition of the parking?
Yeah. Survey work.
Yes.
Hey, Eric.
I like the new payroll report.
Mm-hmm.
Very explanatory.
Yeah.
Very nice.
still kind of doing it all by hand, so I know how to do it.
Question for you. Dawn had indicated that she is in discussions with the attorney for Dave Schmidt on the southeast corner of Alvin and 28. Do you have it recorded on the zone change on everything that was the conditions as far as the southwest corner of 28 and Alvin?
Southwest. Yeah, I do have those conditions.
Okay.
Yeah.
Share those with everyone here?
Yeah.
Not necessarily tonight, but yeah. Or
I have them to share later.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Good.
Okay, sounds good.
It's been incorporated into the document.
Okay. Harold, what else?
Well, Gavin and I went over the... Sarah, our engineer at the county, came up with 9 different funding scenarios for our 2025 project. And Gavin and I went over those, and I told Sarah which one we were going to go with, and so we'll be moving forward asking OPWC for 39.4%. So we'll be asking OPWC for about $954,000, and that would be half grant, half loan. That's what the application would be.
Okay.
And that's for 2025. It's Crystal Ridge, Winterborne, Platte 3, Deer Valley, Villas at Deer Valley, and Brandywine. County's portion would be North Jerome Road and Technology Drive.
We're getting special bricks on Plum Brook Drive?
No, we don't do those.
I know, and I've talked to, just FYI, Thursday night we have a Township Association meeting. Couple things, but one of the things Mr. Stormer will probably be grilled about is roundabout maintenance, because it is a hot button at all the other townships as well. Or no, I should say not all, a number of other townships as well. So,
well, and the last conversation I had with Mike Stormer about roundabouts, you know, I told him if we could work out some kind of an arrangement similar to what we've done up at Salisbury and Albin, not necessarily that same look, but if we could come up with an agreement like we did there and a design that was acceptable, that would be relatively maintenance free, I told him I thought we were amenable to that, and he said they're looking at other options. So I don't know what those were. He didn't explain. Explain that on Thursday.
Yeah, I'm sorry I can't be there, Chuck. I'm out of town for work and get in at like 8 o'clock Thursday night.
I won't be there because I'm leaving for the lake as soon as this meeting's done.
Oh, good for you!
I think the hot button issue is going to be the ALS funding that Matt Hireman is coming to. And actually, I've seen Mayor Pedro on Saturday, he heard about it and asked if he could come. I said, well, yeah, you can come. I'm not going to ask you to speak, though. You can listen. I said, you're not a townshipper. He goes, we have a vested interest. You do. I said, Tim, but it's a township meeting. So, unless you have other information to share. But, because there was an email. Was the rest of this group in it from Rich Carr?
Yes.
And I have not responded or reached out to Rich. Just, you know, I didn't want to.
Well, that was the 911 consolidation, the funding for 911. And
I'm sorry, can I phone Gavin?
Not everything that was in that email was 100% accurate. You know, I have to give him a lot of credit. Andy Glenn and others have been working very, very hard to try to identify another funding source and just haven't been successful.
You're giving Andy Glenn a lot of credit, not Mayor Carr. So I have to give him a lot of credit after you finish talking
for all the work that he's doing.
Yeah. Andy Glenn.
Andy Glenn.
We all need to give Andy Glenn a lot of credit, and he's trying every avenue. But he's working with the state to use a model out of Michigan.
Yes.
And it makes a ton of sense. And why we can't move forward with it, I don't understand. I'm not sure I understand what you're saying either, Chuck. Explain for me. ALS, 911, it's all linked together,
Harold's calling it 911, I'm calling it ALS. So.
But that's the trucks, too.
That's what came to my mind when you said ALS.
Yeah.
It's we get the trucks and we get to split the funding with the partner we've been given, or they get it or we get it, or however we work it out. Like, there's two separate issues, and I imagine a third one's going to be coming down the pike soon where we're mandated to do certain things related to fire.
I mean, some of it is because, I mean, when I met with Matt and Commissioner Gerken, I don't know, April, whenever it was, they said, yeah, this $404,000 will be for 5 years. Well, I heard just last week, no, it's only for two. So.
And before it was three.
So right. There seems to be a lot of moving numbers.
Pete Gerken, it's in the report from the fire chief or interim fire chief that it was reported by Pete Gerken that it would last as long. It's always going to be there. No, it's not always going
to
be there.
The answer to that question seems to be different every time you ask.
Yes.
Right. And nothing seems to be in writing yet.
Right.
Yeah.
Part of that meeting, we were supposed to get together with our partner, the City of Maumee, and start talking about what our relationship is going to be. And I haven't followed up with him, but Patrick Birch said they don't even want to discuss it until November. And if they know if they got their levy or not.
Right. And I was in that meeting with you and Matt. They said they could make no commitment till after November.
So it would be a waste of time to talk.
There could potentially be three new...
That's not true, though, Harold, because we could say we'll take the piece of equipment and the $800,000 and we'll man Maumee. So there's no reason not to start the conversation yet. I think Patrick likes to put us off. And I think since we have to be their partner on this, we definitely need to get our annexation stuff in order.
We have to be a partner.
Lucas County. We split the money with.
But we don't have to be a partner with them. We can work. Well, we can take the $800,000 and work cooperatively, or we can each take our $400,000 and go home.
Sure.
Yeah. You're saying we have to be a partner.
Yeah.
Well, we've teamed up with them.
They've asked us. They teamed us up, and they've asked us to work out an agreement.
Kind of makes you a partner,
but
Maumee says they won't even talk about it till after November.
Right.
I don't think we need to listen to that.
No.
How do you make them talk to you?
I guess you send a proposal.
Well, now, quite frankly,
they won't talk to us about the annexation issue on the table either.
Matt Homick and I discussed this a week or so ago, and Matt plans to have discussions or may have already started discussions with Chief Lobosheski.
Great.
So at least the fire chiefs are talking.
Great.
Seems important.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think there's... we should be more cognizant of what's going on there.
Well, it's just difficult because Rich has had some inaccuracies in some of his things. He's a lame duck. There's potentially three new council candidates. Or, the whole dynamics of council could change January 2nd. So, whatever we do now could be totally unwound by the new council, new administration. we don't know that, but you know, I mean, we all have the same common interests, but
maybe then we should just go right to court.
You know, there's
that's the other part of it is that you had had boards agree have a long term agreement that's being totally dismissed and dishonored on that front. So
yeah,
it could easily be a change of working together. Or even not. And so I get better. Who knows?
Well, and I got a question then, a legal question for you. If they say we have to work with Mommy, does Monclova have to work with Mommy legally on this fire, on the fire funds being split and everything? Are we required that we have to play with Mommy?
From what I haven't seen the documentation, but from what I understand is that Mommy and Monclova are assigned these amounts of monies, and the two entities have to figure out how to divide that up. And so if, you know, if Mommy's fire department goes away and ours grows, we get a bigger piece of the pie and a bigger responsibility.
So yeah, it's my understanding that in talking to various folks, for example, like, you know, White House had an ALS unit assigned out there, so Waterville and White House are keeping the $800,000 out there, and they're working some cooperative agreement for those two communities. You know, we've, you know, the same thing. The county says, well, Mommy and Monclova are getting the same $804,000 or $808,000, whatever it is. You know. But we can't get a commitment out of Mommy, at least per Birch, till they pass a levy. So how do we, you know, and they didn't even want to talk. We said, what about moving down two separate tracks? He's like, I don't want to have any discussions. Is that a fair assessment,
yep.
Harold? Yeah.
Yep.
He said, I don't even want to talk about it.
Yep. Not until the results of the election.
And he's very busy with downtown Mommy. Just say.
And the bike trails and the trees and, yeah.
And they've
connectivity.
They've sort of put a January 1st target date to implement all of this, but Matt Hierman has said we set a target date because if you don't, you'll never get anything done. So we're setting a target date, but at the same time, the city of Toledo said they're not able to do anything until
after the election,
June or July. The end of June, 1st of July.
Yeah, they want a half year start.
So
basically, Matt has said it's not going to do it. Nothing's going to happen until mid year next year.
Okay.
Because the city of Toledo just can't, and I'm not sure I understand why they can't, but they say they can't.
But certainly to their point that trying to work with Mommy,
right,
with lame duck council, arguably,
right,
is,
yep,
at least till June 3rd.
Yes.
Right, you just gave me a little breathing room,
okay,
right, saying Matt said this. But I still think we should be cognizant of the fact that on several fronts, Mommy isn't willing to work with us. So we have this, we have annexation, that has been a year, I would guess, since I sat down with them and we got really close to negotiating something and a document is in front of them sitting on their desk. And then we had the judge meeting this past week where, you know, our partners said no thanks, and I put it on the under new business so we can talk about it out there. But we're getting these, I think, clear signs that either there'll be a change in November and
yeah,
or we shouldn't be surprised when, as Patrick informed us at the Judd's meeting, that, you know, the Fallen Timbers TIF is going to be putting a sewer and a road in that leads to Black Road. So,
well, and some of it, I'm just, Mommy may have so many projects going on right now they can't multitask well.
It could be that simple.
Yeah.
Right?
So I don't know, you know, they're in the real estate business, they're in the road construction business, they're in the landscaping business, they're in the bike path business,
They had a big lawsuit with the county over water.
Yeah.
They're not in
the sewage business.
Well, however you want to define water, right.
Yeah.
So you're saying that they're saying that they're going to put in a sewer line to Black?
That's what they said at the JDZ meeting the other day.
Which, you know.
Which could mean they're funding the Isaac project.
Yeah.
And that's all they're doing. But I have a more, I'd like to be more thoughtful than that, right?
Yeah, or the McCarthy project at the south end of Black.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to do the math on it, right? How much does that cost? And since they're getting none of the property taxes, they will get the property taxes because it's been, Isaac's property has been annexed.
No, the McCarthy project was always in Maumee. McCarthy project on Black was always in Maumee. But there's no utilities there. So they need to drag utilities down from the mall. And I was told, I haven't confirmed this, that they got permission to go underneath the river tracks.
I assume. He seemed like it was a done deal.
Well. Patrick knows a lot of things.
Can we go to the email that was sent? You asked Doug to put together a business plan for our maintenance department. I thought it was a great response to that email about the work that should be done to kind of vet what we might do. So I wanted to add to that, though, and I didn't send an email. I thought I would do it here. I wanted to add to that. We started a good process about a year and a half ago about individual employees and what they were going to accomplish, and we did SMART goals. And the fire department's kind of already established that with the booklet they gave us. I call it a booklet. You know, you had like seven plans, and you had very much measurables in there.
Yeah.
And if we add Doug and Harold to the SMART goals, I think we can get up and running and actually talk to these people about what they're trying to accomplish. So I would like us to suggest, fire department's done. Now, if we hire a new chief, we might want to add some things or set some goals with them or things like that. But we can sit down with Scott and Matt if that doesn't happen or whatever. So we just, and I think we can take Harold's previous goals.
Well, and okay, you're talking about Harold and Doug, not the maintenance employees, correct?
Yeah, the union is union. I'm just talking about administrative.
Okay. All right.
So,
and I don't know if I copied you or you copied on that, Dawn, but Doug sent a request saying he'd like to have a conversation about potentially hiring another employee at the maintenance garage. And I said, that's a conversation we can have, but please present a business case, what's not getting done, how much overtime are we burning, do you think you can, cost savings with the overtime, please, look at Gavin, pull those numbers out, and Kathleen, and, tell us why we need this additional person down there, and what, do we need somebody with professionally carpentry experience, electrical experience, masonry experience, what, other than a CDL, what would we like them to have?
And I'm just taking another step further and saying, I also want to talk about you. And I think our administrative employees want to just meet with the trustees on a regular basis and talk about how they're doing their job. So I'd like to make sure we start scheduling that as well. So if we're good with it, I'll send out the email that says, hey, guys, this is what we're using as SMART goals for the fire department. Here's yours, because I think we have something. Doug, can you make yours? And we can try to hit everybody before the end of the year and then evaluate them before we get raises in March. If that's a problem. All right, HR plan, Dawn. Sound fine?
Well, as far as your meeting with the trustee, I guess that was the whole thought process, you know, with the liaison, you know, on a quarterly basis.
Oh.
You know, that maybe you attend one of the staff meetings, or they, you know, schedule their staff meetings that you can make it and just kind of hear, quote unquote, from the horse's mouth what's going on, what issues,
okay,
concerns, things like that.
Well, we used to have Ken come in for a meeting and discuss stuff. We used to have Harold come in. We haven't had maintenance come in. We'd have the chiefs come in and have a work session with each supervisor.
And talk about their individual goals,
correct,
not about the department. So I'm thinking more personnel and you're thinking more big picture. So
Yeah, we're going to stay out of the weeds.
Yeah. I don't know that employee evaluations are weeds, though. So
well, no,
you better
think
about this
a little bit. Kathleen and Eric, from an administrative standpoint, we don't do major reviews for those.
Nope.
They're in the union.
Correct.
Right.
Correct. What do we got, a year left on our contract?
Year and a half. I think it's 2024.
Year and 4 months, yeah.
We're in the middle of our second year.
Okay.
There was something else, but it's gone. So if it comes to me during this meeting, I'll bring it back up. But it is...
Harold shared with me prior to the meeting that he addressed one of the complaints he had about the pickleball court about private lessons. So I know what, in looking at our agenda, I had a couple of questions for you.
Wait a sec. You just dropped a pickleball bomb and then you
moved
on.
And Harold addressed it.
We've had several complaints from people that there's a guy,
I know the guy
giving lessons.
You know the guy, Chuck. He gave your wife.
No, it's not Dave Baxter.
Oh, well, I've seen him out there doing it.
Oh.
Well, and...
Sorry.
One day...
All right, I will take it. Sorry. It's Matt Yarder.
Doug did go out there and speak to the individual and said they had a nice conversation, and the guy told him, no, I get it, I understand. Our original sign... I think had a 1 hour limit.
Yes.
And then we learned very quickly that that's unreasonable because a typical game is 10 to 15 minutes. And general protocol is when you finish a game, if there are people waiting, you yield the court to the next people, you go around and get back at the end of the line and work your way through. Well, we had put on our sign 1 hour limit, so this guy said, no, I got an hour. So we took that off the sign.
And I thought we ordered new signs.
We did. And they were put up last Thursday or Friday. Yeah. Because just taking that 1 hour limit thing off the sign didn't help either, and plus the fact we were getting reports that he was tying up a court for up to 2 hours. So the new signs say if somebody's giving lessons, if there's somebody waiting to use the court, they have to yield to the people who are waiting. Now those signs just went up on Friday, but I sent the gentleman an email today and just explain to him that the courts are for everybody's enjoyment. They're not for a commercial enterprise. He's welcome to give lessons if there isn't anybody waiting. But if there are people waiting, he needs to yield. And if he refuses to do that, we will revoke his privileges. So, and the way I'm looking at it, if we revoke his privileges, then he still comes and uses them. He's trespassing.
No,
people get riled up.
It's nothing like it.
I told Harold, I said, since the announcement of the construction of pickleball courts, I think more residents have voiced their opinion about it than any other, you know, incident.
Now, there's been a lot of constructive. I mean, the things that we built to keep the balls from going on the other courts, you know, things like that. I would have known.
Right.
But we learned. And
but wanted to talk about two other issues, and it may be involve some research from you and Eric's standpoint, with the recreational marijuana issue that's on the ballot this fall. We cannot...
Did that officially make it on?
Yeah. We cannot legal. I know we have a moratorium in place, but do we want to look at something specific in our zone? Should it pass, you know, do we want to put something in, specific in our zoning code to address it as far as location, and or, you know, do we charge a certain fee? You know, we have X amount for, you know, commercial, this, that, the other thing. Can we look at a fee to, you know, keep them, like I said, in a certain area?
That wouldn't quite be a moratorium, right?
Well, I don't know. We've had the moratorium in place for 2 years.
Yeah, I recall our moratorium that we've reinstated a time or two. It had to do with the dispensary and grow houses, but so this would be a different aspect.
Yeah. Right. The other thought I had is with the 20A, and this is
just, for the next 3 days.
How do you want to call them? Dollar stores?
We can call them that. Go ahead.
Okay, dollar stores. I mean, I would hate to see a dollar store go over here in the commercial area on Montclover Road. I would hate to see a dollar store. Not that there's anything wrong with it. I don't think that's the highest and best use of the property of, you know, at Briarfield and 20A. Can we, through zoning again, regulate size, type of business, those type of things, that we keep, for lack of a better word, the charm of Monclova from being downgraded by dollar stores? I mean, if a dollar store wants to go on Airport Highway out near Lomas, I guess I'm fine with that, but I don't want to see that here on Monclova Road.
So we talked at the JEDS meeting about our zoning and how we're working to make the JEDS area the highest and best use so that storage units don't go in there. Data centers where there are no employees. That's designed as an economic development zone. So how do we adjust our language to improve?
Yeah.
So this kind of falls in that. Like, if you're in a JEDS, like, does a dollar store make sense? Does, I guess retail's retail, though. You can't discriminate against a dollar store versus a Kazmaier's.
That's what I'm asking our legal counsel. Now, you know, what do we have? I mean, as a township, what can we legally do to keep, you know, when I think of, you know, like, and think of when you say Kazmaier's, so I think of that, like that shopping center where Churchill's is at over in Perrysburg. I mean, they got Churchill's, they got El Vaquero, they got Dave's Running Shop, they got Jersey's, you know, they got all nice neighborhood retail.
Right, it's based,
you know, with
on
a Dunkin' Donuts out front, and it's a nice shopping center. And I, you know,
in my experience, if someone's doing retail and they're trying to do a discount thing like that, it all comes down to the cost of the building,
right?
And what do they have to get as rent? Because most discount stores, like, you don't see Big Lots going into a brand new thing. They usually go into a defunct someone, and they go in and sign a lease for 5 years at $3 a square foot. When they're done, they release that for $10 if they redeveloped it. But Big Lots doesn't go into new stuff. Dollar General has a price point that they're at. So depending on usually the exterior of your building, if you look at Dollar Generals in a lot of towns, they're all little tin shacks basically because it's a lower cost when you go in there. So depending on the outside material that you require, the cost of the building goes up, the rent has to go up, and you keep low cost retailers out based upon that.
Yeah.
You're not zoning people out. You're just saying this is the price.
Well, the market's going to price out. Yeah. So. But I mean, something, you know, if I'm trying to think of a older retail.
But then on the other side, you got to make sure you don't price out things that you want in to have costly materials on the outside of an industrial building that are, you know, prohibitive. That's like what Swanton was doing at the airport. So you got to make sure you don't go the other way with it. Also, if something is acceptable and how it looks.
Yeah. And the other thought, do we want to include vape shops in some type of zoning for that? I don't know how that's even covered.
What? Vape?
Vape.
Oh. You said vape shops.
I thought you said vape, too.
No, vape. Vape. Yeah. No.
I was going to say, we have one of those on Prairie Field.
What, the sushi place?
No. Vape shop. No. The
Harold, that's a
Gin
joke.
Gin.
Sushi. I got it.
Funny, guys. Funny.
Yeah.
They could put a spicy tuna closer to here.
Half
you
price
could walk to spicy tuna.
I could.
They still got half price on Wednesdays?
Yeah.
Harold, anything else you have for us?
Don't think so.
I don't think there's anything to be addressing for us.
You know what? How about a township open house? The staff needs a date. 10-7 or 10-14? Like 10-1? 10? Nope.
10-14 would be better. My niece is getting married on 10. 10-7.
Okay. They want the trustees there, so.
I could do 10-14.
I have to check my schedule. I am going to be out of town at our meeting on the 18th of September.
October. Oh, is that a meeting date? September 18th.
September 18th, yes. So, Trudy, you'll have to prep yourself.
Let's make sure I'm here. I am. Trudy and I can give raises and do SMART goals and all that jazz. Updates from the yard are great. We are setting closing dates for all 70 acres in mid-September. So I don't think we're holding Matt up in any way.
Well, and unfortunately, and I believe this is kind of like our sidewalk deal, you know, how do we, you know, we made a commitment from the township if Toledo and Maumee came in, you know, how do we make a commitment to them and say, well, then somebody else, well, you gave it to Yarder, why can't you give it to us? You know.
Gavin and I had this conversation. He said it very eloquently. About a policy.
Yeah, I mean, you have to have a policy in place on what it's bringing to the table. It's in this case, it's because both other sides in the JDZ are saying they can't do something. They can't. You know, for whatever their reasons are, because Yarder's leaving Toledo, they can't contribute to it. Mommy financially can't. So, you know, they just lost $1 million in payroll to St. Luke's or something. That's what their excuse is right now.
They'll use that for quite a long time.
Yeah. I asked them if it was the Anderson's payroll, but no.
Both just have kidding. Another Mayor Carr's tenure.
But then they get a silver
problem. So, I was just saying, I don't know, you know, can we uphold, you know, what we said? Patrick, I'll give him credit, he did bring up one thing. He's like, well, we all share in the property taxes, or the income taxes, but Monclova is the beneficiary of your property taxes, and it's already in a TIF, you know, so you're getting all that benefit of that. And I pulled our TIF, I didn't go look through it yet to see what, you know, our potential benefit on, like, that parcel would be.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, you know, there might be some ways around it if that's what, you know, we want to do it. And I'm pretty sure Yarder's going to do the project with or without us, you know, contributing. It's just a matter of, you know, what the trustees want to do in regards to other partners not helping out.
Well, it's also the employees, the amount of employees they're bringing in, the amount of the TIF. Can you sit back and actually weigh each one of what they're contributing to the Monclova's?
Yeah, but you could
treasure?
You could do that for anything.
For all three.
You know, I mean, you can do it for any parcel of land, and I'd say, oh, if we put the money in there and people came, it's great for Monclova, but is it still the role of government to be doing that?
You mean to be a developer, basically.
Yeah. You know, is it the role of government to put a sewer line in to develop residential houses? Well, we've never, you know, whenever there was a subdivision, we've never done that for a subdivision before. Yeah, you know what I mean? So it's those hard questions on what is the role of government and what are we supposed to do? And you can make a case. I understand why we would want to do that. It's not going to just benefit you. Yarder. It's going to benefit the other parcels that then can be developed and all of that sort of stuff. And
but just that it begs the question why Toledo, our partners, wouldn't step up and do something.
Right.
They didn't, you know, not asking for the whole thing, but some portion.
Long before.
Because, I mean, you have a person on the board that was saying, hey, let's do some planning and some development. Well, this is the opportunity.
Yeah. And, you know, it just comes down to long before this board, you know, was together, some great things happened over there in the joint economic development zone areas, but they did not have a master planner, and it was poorly planned, and then it causes issues on how do you develop it now, because there's no one person that's going to benefit from the whole thing, so no one wants to put money in. And that's where the issue is over there.
I think the good news was when Eric showed us the map, Chuck, this seems to be the only road that needs to be done. There aren't a ton of roads that need to be
built. No, you talk about the east-west or the north-south?
This is the north-south.
Either one, Riverford with the circle.
Yeah. So there will be an east road at some point in time, maybe. I don't know. I mean, you can get to it from there and there, and someone else might have to pay for that. But the rest of the vacant properties aren't islands. You know, they have to figure out how to get to.
Right. So... do we do something? That's for us to talk about, I guess, at some point. And Patrick left saying, I just can't give you 150 right now. Can I give you 50 for the next 3 years? Maybe, but I don't know how to give it. You can't write a check to Yarder Manufacturing. It doesn't work that way. So he wanted us to come up with a tool.
Well, could they do something like Toledo did out of for the interchange.
That's what Brandon said.
And you know, Patrick had a reason why they couldn't do it.
Uh-huh. Patrick.
A funds and B funds.
He's fast.
He said his auditor wouldn't allow him to do that or something like that. I think that's what he said. I can't remember. I didn't write down exactly what his objection was to that.
And I also heard Thursday that Doug Bourne is leaving Lucas County. So I know he was involved with that project as well. I don't know if he has left, but I heard he is leaving.
We're only a couple minutes away. I do have to leave early today. It's 6:30 that I have to go to. So I won't get here through the whole thing.
So we'll put your right after the pledge in minutes.
Representation letter.
I'm sorry.
We only have like 1 minute left. I don't know if we're going out there or not.
Okay.
That's the management rep letter. I sent that to you before the last meeting. The auditor writes it for us.
Yeah, that we paid $6,000 or whatever it was for. I sent a check for.
That was still a balance, I think it said.
This time we paid, but they don't, until they issue the audit,
right.
you don't pay the balance. But our audit is cheap compared to
Marietta, Ohio.
Just one other note, Ryan Bauman reached out to me last week, said Total Pet Care was closing on Friday. I guess they lost their vet. And he was just inquiring about economic development tools that we had, if any, available. And I said, well, SBA, anything like that, would have to go through a bank, or go through the the one we had was for job creation, not for job retention. So,
which one's total pack here?
Across right there on Briarfield.
On Briarfield.
Oh, gotcha. Briarfield, next to behind the,
okay,
the diner.
Yeah, right.
Vets are going to be just like doctors and nurses and firefighters.
Yeah. Go $200,000 in debt, and I don't know if it's $200,000 for get your veterinary degree.
Sure it is.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yes.
This is the other one, the acknowledgement of their community.